A very good afternoon to all the brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 8th January 2023. This is also the first Dhamma class sharing for our site for the year 2023. So today is Sunday. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, the 84th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. Bracket chapter 10, the final instruction. We are at page 12, 11 to 12. Okay, as usual, we will be having our puja. So let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Se Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Se Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Se Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo Quan Si In Pu Sa. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo A Mi Tho Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Mi Lo Fo. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Di Chang Wang Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuto Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Kame Sumichachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. สังฆังปะเจมิโอเค you all can be set up invocation to the devas in this universe in the entirety let the deities or devas come here let them hear the good teachings of the king of sages which gives heaven and release nibbana this is the time to listen to the teaching this is the time to listen to the teaching this is the time to listen to the teaching samanta chakavalisu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakkamokkhadam Dhammo savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhammo savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhammo savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Namo atassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavati swakato bhagavata dhammo Sandittiko akaliko ehi paseko opanayiko pajatang veditabo venohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo anjali karaneyo anotarang punyang ketang lokasati sadhu Sadhu, Sadhu. The 84th lesson of the 6th Patriarch Platform Sutta. Okay, turn to page. Actually, it should be 11. This is 12, yes. I need the page 11, the last paragraph. That one is connected. So, after the explanation by Huineng, he said, outside is a phenomenal world of consciousness, and the mundane mind is not real, means it has its universal characteristics. They are impermanent. Therefore, you attach and cling and want things your way, which is not nature's way, it will lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, there is no permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is non-self, anatta. Another meaning of anatta is empty nature or existence. That's why it's called empty. Here, empty doesn't mean empty of anything or phenomena. Here, it means empty nature of existence. It means existence got no reality. Here, ultimately, is empty. Like the saying goes, "Lai ye kong, qu ye kong." 那么施主何必苦苦为空流泪呢? So the Mandarin expression is very good. He said, when we are born into this world, we came empty-handed, 来也空. Then when we leave this world, we also leave without taking anything along, 去也空. Then why do living being deludedly, grieve over emptiness in between. 何必苦苦为空流泪? So this Buddhist understanding of the three universal characteristics is very unique and very beautiful. Like Huineng said, they are impermanent, lead to suffering, empty, non-self, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity. That's the reason why the sutta say, so this is the sutta from Huineng, not to see your self nature or true nature, but to seek the Buddha nature outside. If you think that way, you are being deluded indeed. Then he continues, I now leave behind this Dhammadol of the sudden teaching. Why is it called the sudden teaching? Because you can awaken to it immediately. That's why it's called the sudden teaching. Here, sudden means the moment you realize your true mind, your true nature, you technically, the word, technically, you awaken. Because that is the mind that is beyond thought, beyond the mundane psychological mental movement. This is the true mind, the unconditioned. So when you realize this, you will be in that state of unconditioned nature. So that state is actually the enlightenment state. That's why this is the Dhammadol of the sudden teaching. Then Huineng continues it. So this is his last message, or they call it my last message. But when I share that time, I say this is his last message of the sudden teaching. So to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves, and because like the Buddha said the same thing, Buddha can only show you the way. You must walk the path yourself. Even the Buddhist hymn, they have this. So here I explain in the transcript, I said, nobody can do it for you. Do you understand? That's why the Buddha cannot give you wisdom in that sense, cannot make you enlightened. The Buddha said he can only show you the way. And each and every one of you all, you have to walk the path yourself to realize the enlightenment. But the enlightenment is to be realized, to be insight into. And that nature which is within the true nature, it has to awaken to it. That's why this one is not thought-based or knowledge-based. No thought is involved. No memory is involved. It's just that nature awakened inside. Then in bracket, I put there is also a Buddhist hymn that goes this way. Buddha merely showed the way. We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely showed the way. So this Buddhist hymn, I think the BJF They actually sang this in the early 80s. That time I was still in the uni, I think, if I'm not wrong. Victor Wee, they composed this Buddhist hymn. It was very popular. Then I continue. Because this is a realization, like I explained earlier on, it is not a knowledge. It's not from the thought, because this is a realization. So each and every living being, their form and mind must awaken to it on their own. Means you must walk the path yourself and develop the cultivation yourself. I used to tell you all, every life you come, you will have a form and mind. Do you remember? And this form and mind, the five aggregates of form and mind, must connect to your self nature to realize the truth, to awaken. And when that truth has been realized, awakened to, that wisdom is connected to the form and mind. Do you all remember? That is the meaning. Then the form and mind that is connected with the wisdom realized is no longer deluded. That's how you develop the cultivation. Don't go and foolishly think, wow, that once you experience a fantastic meditative experience, you can equate those experiences to enlightenment. Oh, I can do this. I had realized this already. But is the wisdom really there? Is the understanding really there? Without wisdom, without understanding, there is no awakening. All these are conditioned mind state. Even if you had a fantastic meditative experience, so what? Because you still don't understand who you are, what you are. You still don't have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path to enable you to understand life and to live life, which means you don't have right views, leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood or right living. You also don't have the four right effort, the mindfulness and the samadhi, and all these other essential attributes. That's why Hui Ning said, I announce to you and to future students of the way, means including all of you all. If you do not hold this correct view that he has left behind, you will only be wasting your time. That's why he left behind the sudden teachings, the immediate awakening or enlightenment. Then we continue. That's the reason why I said, whatever you do, if it's thought-based, you are wasting your time. So this is the same. You don't realize your true mind and cultivate from your true mind, you are wasting your time. You will end up as thought-based meditation. That's why Hui Ning's first hallmark is to realize the state of no thought. Wu Nian. No thought means what? Your true mind. Without thought, you will realize your true mind. And to meditate actually is to realize that true mind, which is also your silent mind. And that is what awareness is. Because the characteristic of that true mind is just the awareness nature inside. Well, that is the first thing to come out from the source. And when you can connect to that, you can awaken. You can understand. You can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can awaken the truth. Basically, it's just so simple. But cultivate the way living being just couldn't understand because they are not ready. They don't have that ability to realize that understanding. So all this need causes and condition, parami, and also the correct teacher or guide who have gone through to explain to living being, to guide living being, to let them develop the understanding based on their respective condition. That's why Bodhidharma actually did the same when he was meditating with a group of monks. I remember there was one session. Then they were amazed when everybody actually failed the test. Then suddenly Bodhidharma starts to like the place where he used to like make that sound, like rub it against the something, where they say he wants to polish until the glaze where become a mirror. So they laugh at him. They say, "You must be mad. How can the glaze where become a mirror? The best you can do is maybe shiny, polish, but it can never be a mirror." Then the Bodhidharma told them the same thing. If you don't even understand the basic nature of mind, how can you meditate? That's why all this understanding has to be there. So what Bodhidharma is trying to give them is the analogy. It's just like you are doing something they call futility. Means it doesn't bring about any result. Why? Just like trying to polish that glassware until it become mirror. It's impossible. A mirror is a mirror. You have to find that type of material and develop the content to make it into a mirror. You cannot use something else. So thought-based meditation is the same. You use thought as the basis to meditate. The instrument itself limits you where you want to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So how can you do that? That's why the analogy was very good. So here I already summarized. We go back to the sharing there. What I describe here is the summary of it. I said Bodhidharma told the abbot and those monks, they must cultivate starting with the mind. Sing Wei Gen Ben. Do you know what it means? What Sing Wei Gen Ben is? It means we have to start our cultivation with a clean slate by not understanding anything, then reflect. What is this mind? We have to start from there. It means starting with the understanding of the mind as our root foundation for cultivation. Kenpen is root or foundation. The rule, the basis is to understand your mind first. If mind also you cannot understand, then you are wasting your time. What does it mean to understand mind? It means you must understand that there are two minds. You basically, every living being has two minds. One is the mundane mind, the condition arising mind. This one has duality. This one arises within the conditioned world. The other one is the silent mind, which is your true mind. And this one can be awakened too. This one has got no thought within, but it can see things as they are, without words, without thought, without memory, without concept. Through the direct seeing, then it just awakened. It just realized. And this one is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. It's not a conditioned arising state. It's the unconditioned. That's why truth is to be understood. And the Dhamma is to be realized. Not through knowledge, not through memory, not through thought-based doing or process. That's why you cannot cultivate or learn vipassana. Vipassana means to insight into the three universal characteristics of nature. Because to awaken to the three universal characteristics, you need wisdom. And when you awaken, it means you have the wisdom. You have penetrated the truth. You cannot learn to be wise. Learning is mechanical, thought-based, knowledge-based. You can learn to be skillful in something, to be knowledgeable, but you cannot learn wisdom. Well, wisdom is an understanding. It is not a knowledge, nor is it a learning. So I hope you all can get this understood. So his final message to you is, then suddenly when I want to continue, there was very loud thunder and lightning striking, like rejoicing up there. Then I commented, you see, they really wanted this teaching. Looks like they know this teaching is coming. And it's for quite a while, non-stop. That's why before we came, the rain and all those happening are unique signs. And I knew something is going on or going to happen. Before I started, I also told you all. But I didn't know it was this teaching because I didn't really read ahead. It was this last message of winning. That's why it's very beautiful. So this one you will understand when we finish. Then you will have no problem with cultivation from then on. So I will read to you one more time with the whole thing together so that you understand. This sutta is very important because this is the final message of Master Huineng, Liu Zhu Huineng. So the sutta, I will read them one shot, continuous, so that you all can understand better. Well, I don't have to explain anymore. I have already explained it earlier on. So according to Huineng, he said, if in this life you encounter the Dhamma door of this sudden teaching, which you have already had, you will be suddenly enlightened to your own true nature or self nature. Then you will see the honored one of the world, means you can all see the beauty of all these words. I put in bracket. I say, can you all see the beauty of all these words and messages? So this part, I don't know whether I have shared it down there or not, but never mind, I just share it with you now. So here he said, you will be suddenly enlightened to your self nature. Then when that happens, you will see the honored one of the world. So I say, can you all see the beauty of all these words and messages? Because they all actually link and correspond very well with what Sakyamuni Buddha has taught his disciple. He told his disciple, he who sees the Dhamma sees me. You remember? He who sees the Dhamma sees me. Not the one who look at his physical body. You must realize his Dhamma what he has taught you and awaken to it. That's why this sudden enlightenment or sudden awakening by our teaching by Huineng, it takes you direct to the true mind, the silent mind. That's why this can happen. And when that happens, it's mentioned in the sutta by Huineng, it's like you see the honored one of the world, means the world honored one, the fully enlightened Sammasambuddha. Then he continued, if you wish to cultivate and aspire to Buddhahood, you won't know where the truth is to be sorted unless you can see the truth within your own true mind. It means the two mind, your mundane mind and your true mind, or self nature. Means basic mind, you must understand what mind is. It means the two mind, your mundane mind and your true mind, or self nature or true nature. So this truth, which is the cause of realizing Buddhahood. When you realize the awakening to the silent mind, it means you have realized your true mind. And this is the cause for Buddhahood. Your final stretch of your Bodhisattva way fulfillment starts from there. That's why I say to you all, unless you can realize your true mind, unless you can develop the understanding of what that true mind is, you cannot connect to your gateway or true nature, and you cannot inherit from your spiritual nature. That's why you need to start from there. And this is the cause for the realization of the final Sammasambuddhahood realization, meaning to realize Buddhahood. Then Huineng continued, not to see your self nature but to seek Buddha outside. You think that way, you are deluded indeed. I now leave behind the Dhamma door of the sudden teaching to liberate worldly people who must cultivate themselves. See, the emphasis is, although it's the sudden teaching to liberate worldly people, these worldly people who are there, they must cultivate themselves. So the emphasis is very important. Always remember, don't be lazy. Be diligent. Then again, loud lightning again. You see? Do not be lazy, be diligent. This is a very important message that has been acknowledged and taken note of, even by those up there. I announce to you and the future student of the way, yeah, if you do not hold these views or this understanding, you will only be wasting your time. Means your cultivation is a waste of time. Always remember, to realize the sudden teaching, the awakening, you have to go through the true mind or the silent mind. You have to allow your thought to cease through understanding, not through a conditioned state, not through focusing and concentration. You don't go and fix the mundane mind and force it not to think. If you do that, you will get yourself entangled with energy field. Then your mind is not a free mind, it's a conditioned mind, which is of not much use. It's just like when you want to train your children or your kid. You do it by punishing the kid through locking him up and don't letting him to go out of the house, thinking that he will become obedient and good. It's of no use, right? Because the moment you are not around, the boy will go out. The reason being, he doesn't learn anything. He doesn't know the danger of the outside world. And he has a lot of imagination. regarding the outside world, because this imagination, they can actually conjure to make them believe that the outside world is very good. It's just like your mind. You fix it, control it, or suppress it, and do not allow it to be free, it cannot understand anything. When you develop that type of concentration or samatha training, it gives rise to energy, one-pointedness energy, which you may think is beautiful, and that's life. In a similar way, the boy will go and join those people outside and get involved with illegal activity involving drugs and gangsterism, etc. Because they are tempted by the money. And these people normally treat them very well initially. After that, they will ask him to do immoral things. In a similar way, if you do this type of samatha or concentration meditation leading to energy field, it will lead you astray. This deviation will not lead to awakening, enlightenment, and understanding. So this part is very useful. Okay, we will read through the commentary and see what Master Shen Hua has to say. So that part we have completed, which is very important. Then we now go on to the commentary. Then Master Shen Hua's commentary. Having encountered the sudden teaching of the Dayan school, you may become instantly enlightened and understand your original mind or true mind. And you see your original nature or true nature. They call it the Benlai the Mianmu, original nature. Means the source, the singularity. These are all the other names that has been used. At that moment, you will personally meet the world on at one, the Buddha of the Ten Directions. You can see them all. So this one, the explanation is more or less the same. Then I add in this part. The last part is not true. This part is just to let you have the faith. Do you understand? Because that nature is actually the Buddha nature. But you have to perfect them all. Before you can have the omniscient nature, you have to perfect them all before you can have that omniscient nature. The moment you realize your true mind, it's like you have a glimpse of what Nibbana is. Then you will realize the unconditioned. But the perfection, the 10 perfection or paramita, they are not there yet. That's why you are not yet the Sammasambuddha, and you cannot see them. So all this is just to give you faith. But when your mind has transformed, they may appear to you. This one is possible. This one do happen. Especially when there is a message for you, or there is condition for you to understand certain thing, then their nature will manifest or appear. But this is all part of nature's law. Not to say all these Buddha and great beings will come and appear in front of you and congratulate you. There is no such thing. Do you understand? That one maybe sometimes you can become gullible because you may have read about it in the sutta. Like all the Buddha come and congratulate you. Do you think they are there? No, it's their nature. Do you understand? It's not a being. So sometimes if you go through energy field, thought-based meditation, you may think you see the Buddha. That one is different. That one is consciousness-based. mental manifestation sometimes created by Maras to make you believe that you have seen the great being or Sama Sambuddha or any other great beings. Unless you apply effort in the self nature instead of looking outside, you will never find a genuine Buddha. That's why you must seek within. Means realize your true mind. This is Xuan Hua's way of putting it. So you have to be careful. Well, sometimes the translation to English from Mandarin is not accurate or that correct. He said, unless you apply effort in the self-nature, you cannot apply effort. So this one, I think, just a technical translation issue warning. If you apply effort, it becomes thought-based doing. That's why there is no effort involved. You just relax, silent, and maintain awareness. That's why if you are not careful, you may think, wow, very logical. Then you go and apply effort. What they translate is from the Mandarin word, xia gong fu. So this one is not apply effort. It's, I think, the way the Mandarin word is being used to denote somebody who is full of faith and diligently developing the cultivation. So the meaning is you put in the virya or spiritual zeal or spiritual diligence to work on all these things, but it's not applying effort in the true sense of the word. It means you develop the spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity to drive you to cultivate to an understanding of who the Buddha is and how wonderful his teaching is. So from that faith, it gives rise to that virya. So virya is not effort. We have already gone through. Effort is under Noble Eightfold Path. There is another word, sama wayama, if I'm not wrong. So that one is not virya, wayama, right effort. So virya, sometimes the commentary, the English translation, they translate it as effort. It's not effort. It's a type of spiritual tenacity or zeal, Z-E-A-L. So the most important one is understand your mind and see your true nature. So this is very important, I put in bracket. That is the way to realize Buddhahood. Understand your mind means the two aspects of mind, the mundane mind and the true mind. Then when you understand the true mind, you can cease your mundane mind and maintain silence to develop awareness-based meditation. Then you will realize your true nature, your awareness nature within. That's why see your true mind or see your true nature means to realize it. If you do not reverse the light or turn the light around and seek within, but run outside instead to look for the Buddha, you are being, Xuan Hua used the word stupid, extremely stupid. He used such strong words. You must cultivate the Dhamma of the sudden enlightenment on your own. Do not fail to cultivate. If you do not hold the notion expressed in this verse or the understanding expressed in this verse, you are wasting your time. You will never obtain the smallest advantage. It means you cannot progress. That's why thought-based meditation will lead you astray. It will never bring you the realization of the Buddha Dhamma, the awakening. So this part is very important. That's why thought-based meditation will lead you astray. It will never bring you the realization of the Buddha Dhamma, the awakening. So this is most important. That's why the Southern School is to teach you how to realize that true mind, your true nature. We are realizing no thought. If you know how to silence your mind, means without thought, who are you? The moment the mundane mind sees you are without thought, then the true mind, which is always there, will manifest. Then you can be with it, and you can understand what that thing is. That's how you can come to realize that there is another nature apart from the thinking mind, the thought, and the consciousness. Then the inquiry is like I always share, without thought, who are you? What are you? When you are meditating awareness-based approach or awareness-based meditation, when you are in that state of silence without thought, find out, without thought, who are you? What are you? You can come to great awakening. These are very good and important questions. That is, without thought, who are you? What are you? Then I provided the answer down there. You are just that pure nature, that pure awareness. But when the pure awareness also ceases, then what happened? Vayam also. This is what enlightenment or Nibbana is. This is true cultivation. This is the understanding you will realize when you are in that state, when the pure awareness also ceases. That's why the sudden teaching is very simple, very direct, and very powerful. The moment you go through that cessation of form and mind, you will understand. And when you come out of it, everything is clearly understood. After that, I use the word technically, you don't need a teacher. You don't need anything. The form and mind that has gone through the cessation will have the understanding. Although initially, the being cannot express it because the wisdom is not stable yet. He doesn't know what it is, but the nature within knows or understands. That's why when he encounters problems or situations, he will understand that these are all not real, not what living beings think. That's why the mind, after he has gone through the cessation, has become different. Okay? Any more questions so far? You have any question, you can ask. If you have no more question, then we can go on. So, anybody got any question before we continue? Yeah? Anybody, you can just come in with the mic. Yeah, this topic is very good if we can discuss it. Make sure everyone can have the understanding. Yeah, this is like a revision. We have gone through this, I think, about 5 years ago. This one was done in 2018, almost 4 years plus, almost coming to 5 years. Anybody? No question. Okay, then we continue. Okay, the next part is the sutta. Having spoken the verse, the master continued, all of you should take care. So this is his final instruction. After my extinction, what does it mean? Yeah, somebody answer, yes. It means after his parinibbana. That's why they use the word extinction. That's why the word extinction is used. Parinibbana means everything still. Nothing exists. not even the pure awareness, the mundane mind, the consciousness, all this cease. Do not act with worldly emotion, means after his parinibbana. Because the six patriarchs knew, some of them are still emotional. They will grieve, they will weep and all those things, sadness and all those things. But he said, do not act with worldly emotion, means do not allow this worldly emotion, which are still with the evil roots or delusion behind, arise in you. For those who understand, they will not do that. It means don't become emotional and sad through thinking, ayo, the sixth patriarch is gone, our teacher is gone. All this thinking are delusion. So maintain the understanding. Then I explain. I say he may, the form and mind, that segmented line may have gone through parinibbana or cessation of form and mind. Yeah? But I explain, I say, Huineng's nature is all the while there. It never dies. Because his nature, the spiritual nature, the karmic nature, the whatever nature that he has developed, is always there in the midst of nature. Only that form and mind of that segmented life, see, his vehicle and tool that comes with it, cease or die. The karmically conditioned form and mind, that one, separates and ceases to be because condition has ceased to be. That's all. That's why nothing died. No one died. Then why do you fear and worry about death? One must also inquire, who are you? What are you? What is death? Who died? And what died? After death, what happened? Those who don't understand, they will have all these questions. But when you develop the meditative understanding, silence your mind and realize that nature, you will understand all this. All these are dependent originating condition arising mundane entity, mind states and consciousness. Mind make are they, and they are all not real, not what you think, because they come, they go. Dependent on condition they arise, when condition cease to be, it cease to be. All this you will come to understand or realize. That's why there is no more fear, because you will understand all these are not real, not you. And actually nothing dies. But the form and mind is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, not a permanent and changing entity, and it doesn't has anything to do with your true nature. So this one is just one segment that comes within the conditional. If nothing dies, then what happened to you? When you come, or when you came into existence, you are just a form of mind, which is not real. This is not you. That's why the Buddha said, when nothing dies, it means this is not you. Then what happened to your form and mind? It just separate when conditions cease to be. The physical form, which is made up of elements, will go the way of nature, will return to nature. When enlightenment is realized, the form and mind ceases and finish, because no more avijja to cause rebirth consciousness, because there is no more ignorance to continue with the becoming. The birth and death of the segmented body cease, no more, it just cease. The realization of that nibbanic nature is enlightenment. When the mundane mind cease, nibbana can be realized by the form and mind. the mundane mind that is connected to the form and mind will understand, and after that the mundane mind can also still come back, because that being haven't ceased to parinibbana without residue, means the life force, everything still there, they are not supposed to cease yet. They only go through that cessation, but the life force can come back because not time to parinibbana yet. Means you only go through that nibbana cessation. I wouldn't say it's an experience, because there is nothing to experience at all. The mundane mind just cease after realizing itself. But that state is not a conditioned state, it's not a mind state, it has got nothing inside there for you to describe. It is not anything that you can talk about or describe. It's the unconditioned. So this understanding is very important. Okay? Then we continue. The sutta continues by saying, if you weep in sorrow, receive condolences, or wear mourning clothes, you are not my disciple. See, Hui Ning make it so clear. But don't become too rigid, where I put in the bracket, I had to explain all this, otherwise people may take the thing so rigidly and go and say, hey, Hui Ning already warned us, no. But don't become too rigid. Otherwise, when your parent die, and you also refuse to wear the mourning clothes, I can tell you that is real delusion, because you cannot take it literally. It said, you are not my disciple. It means you don't understand, because these are worldly things, and these are worldly duality, and that these are tradition. So not important. Do you understand? Because we live in the conditioned world. You don't become so rigid until you have to say, oh no, my master just died. I must mourn for him for how long? I must wear this filler by this stripe for how long? These are rites and rituals. That's why Master Hui Ning said, do not act with worldly emotion. If you weep in sorrow, if you do all that, it means you still have suffering. Then you are not my disciple. But when you receive condolences, you don't become panicky. Just because Hui Ning said you will not become his disciple anymore if you receive condolences. So when people send you condolences, you say, I cannot receive them. And you reply, please don't send. This is being foolish. You are in a conditioned world. As long as you understand that these are society's norm, hence, not important. No reality in the ultimate sense. It means only within the unconditioned Dhamma, there is no such thing. But within the conditioned world, the conditioned Dhamma, there is such a thing as law of karma. There is such a thing as the good mind state, philapaiti, etc. Those who are sincere, when they send you their condolences, they have good mind state and they feel for you, just in case if you are not enlightened as yet, you will be affected. And that may be the reason why they still decide to send you their condolences for you to feel good. But when you already have the Dhamma, you will understand that all these are not real, not important. Then whether to wear the mourning clothes or not is up to you. If you want to express your filial piety, it's from your heart. But you live in a society that look at you. So don't create unnecessary misunderstanding or condition for negativity or mind state to arise. Because people will comment, what type of child is this? No filial piety at all. Their parents die also, they don't wear the mourning clothes, and do all those acts of filial piety. So society is still society, yeah? Tradition and all this thing. And the worst is, nobody cry. Funeral, not like funeral. And that's what the elders commented when my father passed away in the year 2014. And my mother was affected by the elders' comment. So my mother started to ask my brother and sister to cry. Then she also cried. Luckily, my youngest brother came and told me what happened. Then after that, I talked to my mother. And when my mother understand, she didn't cry anymore. I said to her, if you want to end up like your elders and their families, their life are so miserable, then maybe you can go ahead, follow their advice and cry. I said to my mom, why should you cry? Dad has done his duty so well, very well. He had done everything that a parent would do for their children. And he is one of the most respected and a very responsible dad. Very loving, kind, and caring. So he will have a good afterlife. And I told my mom, no need to cry. Filial piety is to be expressed and developed for him when he is still alive. Not after he has died. Then cry for people to see. This is not filial piety, but an act to show the public that you have filial piety. To me, no point. So for those who understand, they will not do that. Instead, what I did was really meaningful. I organized a very great and grand Chinese New Year holiday trip to a sea view resort in Thailand for my whole family, 50 plus of us, in the year January 2014 for my dad. He only passed away later, 28 July 2014. So I remember it's a resort, Hak Kiao Resort, I think, somewhere southern Thailand there. That year, my dad was so full of joy and was very happy. He told us in front of my mom when we were having the family photo at the beach with the bridge song and nature. Then he told my mom and us all, he said, this is life. Seeing all my children, daughter-in-laws, grandchildren, and grand-grandchildren coming together celebrating Chinese New Year with such joy and happiness on such a beautiful resort beach. And he was on a wheelchair at that time. And my mom immediately stopped crying when I reminded her of that occasion. She can remember. Then Hui Ning continued to express as below, you are not my disciple, for that is contrary to the proper Dhamma. So this one I have explained. See, now you understand, because this is not proper Dhamma. Do you remember? Sorry, do remember, not to be rigid. We are living in the conditioned world. Simply recognize your original mind or true mind, and see your own original nature, true nature, which is neither moving nor still, neither produced nor extinguished, neither coming nor going, neither right nor wrong, neither dwelling nor parting or departing. Do you remember the Heart Sutta? These are the exact description from the Heart Sutta. Because this is true emptiness. According to the Heart Sutta, it is stated very clearly. In true emptiness, there is no such thing as what has been described while in the conditioned world. And the above description, for those who don't understand, you may say, yeah, there is neither any movement or stillness. But they cannot understand. To them, they think if it is stillness, tranquility, then there is no movement. They will have this idea. But for those who have penetrated the ultimate truth or realized true emptiness, there is no word, no duality. Even the Dhamma also doesn't exist. That's why there is no such thing as birth, old age, sickness and death, and even enlightenment. All this pertain to the conditioned world. The Four Noble Truths also don't exist within the unconditioned, in true emptiness, but it's the unconditioned. So this part, you have to develop the understanding yourself to your own realization. We can stop here, page 23. To realize your true mind, your self nature within is very important, the awareness nature. So awareness based meditation, like I always share with you all, remember the first three of the four support. The first support is to relax completely body and mind. Whatever mind state that arises, relax into it. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just relax. When you are relaxed, you are at ease, you are at peace. Your mind can settle down. And there is no tension, no tightness, no stress within. And you are beautiful. Then after that, maintain awareness. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Whatever contact between the sense basis and the external sense data and the consciousness, whatever that result means upon contact, consciousness will arise. Then the whole movement content of mind. So do not allow that thing to actually distract you or pull you away. Because in the form of meditation, we are going to develop that ability to be aware within. So the first support is relax. Then we maintain awareness, second support. Then the third support is to stabilize this awareness for as long as you can. Technically, it's 24 hours. Yeah? So whatever that arises, just let it pass. Finish. Like tactile, whatever sensation, whatever arising of thought, or whatever movement within the form of mind, you just aware, finish, aware, finish. And allow the awareness to be with whatever that arises. By doing that, the mundane mind will slowly, slowly, slowly cease. Because all these are dependent originating condition arising. They need energy. They need delusion to sustain them. So when you have the awareness within, when you know how to relax and just let things be, then everything will cease. Means whatever thought that arise, they will actually dissipate and finally cease. Then whatever that is going on within your form and mind due to your lack of mindfulness while living your life, they call that the heedless living. When you are heedful, most of the time throughout the day, then you will come to realize you hardly have any thought activity. The moment you lie down or the moment you sit to meditate, you are already in that stillness, the silent mind, the awareness. Or you just relax into it, silent, maintain awareness, and everything will fall into place. Then you will realize your true mind, sometime within minutes. for those who are very good within second. And for those who have stability of daily mindfulness, that very moment, they just decide to silent, they are there already. You can now slowly mindfully come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, say inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that we have developed. So stabilize it and let it carry over into our life. Means mindfulness in the midst of life. We call that the mindfulness training, daily mindfulness training. When you are able to have all these mind states in the midst of life, means you are ready for the ultimate training. The real training is to have the ability to be heedful in the midst of life. Means throughout the day, apart from your initially sleeping moments, when you are aware throughout the day, within your conscious moment, that is the beginning, which is very important. This training has to be developed. Then after that, you have to even develop the ability to be mindful when you are resting, especially when you are about to sleep. Initially, you must develop that train there until you are all the time awake, accumulating into 24-hour awareness, which means you hardly sleep. They call it you are fully awake. But our body, sometimes we need to rest. We need to rest and let it recuperate. So if you already develop the ability to do it and you know it can be done, then later on, it's up to you. If you want to sleep, rest, let the mind settle down, then you just let it lapse into the sleeping mode, or what we call the unconscious mode. But initially maintain awareness until finally you sleep. But it can be done. The awareness can be maintained throughout. Then when you wake up, that same moment, there is no lapse in consciousness. Means the awareness is continuous until the next morning when your body had rested enough. So these are all the possibility of development of daily mindfulness training where you can actually develop it. And for those who have done it, they will know these are very beautiful training, very important trainings. And you have this ability, you are destined for enlightenment in the here and the now. Because like the Buddha mentioned, under Dhammapada verse 21, 22 and 23. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you are not heedful in the midst of life, you don't stand a chance at all. This spiritual teaching, awakening, you don't stand a chance. So heedfulness in the midst of life is very important. Okay, now we will open up for second session. Second session, I think, is meditation reporting, followed by sharing of whatever Dhamma understanding that you have developed or experienced. And finally, of course, is Q&A session where you can ask me any question that you have. It can be relating to meditation or the Dhamma, or how to apply this teaching so that it can help you develop the understanding.
Brother Theo?
Yes.
I'm Zoe here.
Yeah.
I just want to seek your opinion.
Okay.
Basing on this book, the 84th lesson of the Six Patra Platform Sutra.
Yes.
Just basing on this book alone, and let it just guide us in our cultivation, do you think it's sufficient already?
If you have the basic understanding, it's more than sufficient. But these are for people who can understand the awareness-based meditation. It's actually more than sufficient. And what is shared inside this 84th lesson is very unique. And these are for basically cultivators who are very serious, who really wants to develop the awakening, the understanding of what this true mind is, what this nature is. What has been shared is actually very comprehensive and complete, which you cannot find at other places, because this one is all on the sharing on the part of that development of that mind state that you need to develop so that you can realize that cessation leading to enlightenment. And before the cessation happen, you have to have the ability to realize the first hallmark of awakening, which is without thought. Can you be in a state of without thought as a free mind? Means this mind is not in a state of concentration or a conditioned state or holding on to anything like one-pointedness or object of meditation. It does not dwell anywhere. It is a free mind but without thought. If you can do that, then you are a good meditator. Means you can develop this awareness within naturally. The awareness that surface born of the free mind. Yeah, so this part is not easy, but can be done by most people. In fact, a lot of Kayamita manage to do it, but the stability of it is not easy. So all those who have gone through, they actually later only come to develop all this understanding that is shared in lesson 84. So basically, I think I know what you meant when you asked this question. Is it sufficient or enough for you to develop as meditation? So there are two parts to it, because the first part is more elementary but also important to have before you can understand what is shared in the 84th lesson. Because this 84th lesson, the sharing that we have gone through, is not a method or a technique or going beyond all those conventional way of developing the meditation. It is awareness based. And the awareness base that is been done correctly will understand what I say. So that first part to understand awareness base is very important, very important. Once you have that, then your question become very beautiful. Yes, more than sufficient.
Yes, I fully agree with what you've just explained. And it's true that it's not easy to maintain the awareness nature for a long period of time. But anyway, I'm still working on it religiously.
That is good. But are you able to even have a glimpse of that moment without thought?
Yes, but not really for a long period of time.
Never mind. Even you can have glimpses of it or moments of it enough. Miss, that is the beginning. means you can see the big difference between an agitated mind, a restless mind, and the mind that is without thought, even within that short moment. That realization is very important. That it will motivate you. It will give you the faith to continue to relax and maintain awareness. The first danger is most people will go into the sleep because sometimes your body is tired or you all are so familiar with sleeping. The moment you relax, you will go to sleep on most people. And a lot of people find it a problem to sleep is because their mind think a lot, restless, and the mental hindrance are all over, and they hold on to a lot of issue in life, problems in life, worry, anxiety, fear. So all this first noble truth reality that haunt the meditator or the cultivator, they keep on surfacing. And this will create a type of what they call habitual tendency that condition them into thinking, into recalling all those problems, want to resolve it but cannot resolve it, don't know how to resolve it. So the sankhara activity, the heedless thinking, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the mental hindrance, especially sensual design, you will every moment of sense experience, well, throughout the day you created it, then you already have this mind that is not in order. Not in order means mental hindrance keep on arising. That's why it has become heedless. So this has become a habit where you carry over to the meditative training state. That's why they cannot meditate. Their mind cannot be quiet. They cannot be with the moment without thought. The thought keep on coming. So sometimes is the slow and torpor will come in because when they relax, they feel sleepy. They will become very sleepy. Then sometimes they want to meditate, but the sleepiness come in. So there is love and trouble. Then when they have problem, when there is a lot of worry, anxiety, fear, the mind becomes restless. It think a lot. It keep on coming back to haunt you. The last one is doubt. When people don't understand what is going on, they don't have clear understanding of this awareness-based meditation, the Buddhist teaching as taught by the Buddha, they have doubt. They are not sure whether what they have done is correct or not. Whether to follow this instruction or that instruction, this teacher, that teacher, this book, that book. So all this develop doubt. Doubt means lack of faith, lack of understanding of the teaching. And this five mental hindrance, like the word say, mental hindrance, it hinders one's mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. That's why most people cannot meditate. So you can even have a glimpse of the moments of mind that is without the restlessness, without the thought, without stress, without anything disturbing. That is already a great transformation from the heedless thinking.
Sometimes when the disturbing thoughts comes, I just aware of it, and then I just find that it just disappear like that.
You assist because you don't give it importance. Means you're just aware. Then through your training, it will just pass. Then you let it arise again. Whatever arise again, you're aware. Then let it pass. If you continue to do that, means it cannot distract you. It cannot draw you away. It cannot make you heedless. That is why awareness-based training is very important. Every time, whatever happened, just let it pass, finish. That's why I say aware, finish. Don't want to know. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. The only danger is you will fall into the sleep. So initially, you have to maintain the awareness. But every time you fall into the sleep, if you are tired, then sleep. Sleep until you are fully like recuperate already, no more tired, and then you maintain awareness again.
So now I tend to sit longer lah. Beginning
Yes.
when I sit for 15 minutes, then now extend to half an hour,
Yeah,
then now 45 minutes, then now 1 hour.
easily. Very
So now I'm
good,
literally
very good.
lengthening
If you can
half.
do that, your meditation will progress. Then your ability to be aware, have less thinking, less mental hindrance, will make you more mindful, more heedful. Then after that, you have to carry it over into your daily activity. Whatever you do, maintain awareness. Like initially is the four posture: standing, aware; walking, aware. Because these are the movement that is not easy to do. Where most people are heedless, they hardly aware that they are in the standing posture. They are hardly aware when they are in the walking posture, or lying down, or sitting posture. You know why? Because they think a lot. As they stand, they think, they contemplate, they recall things. Then as they walk also, they think. Then when they see things, they think. They hear, they smell, all this conditioned thinking. Then you start to understand. Mindfulness is not easy. Because sense experience, they arise so fast, and each and every one of them actually lure you, distract you, condition you to react, to think, to create mental states, mental activity. So this is a very important training. After you have developed the ability to stabilize your awareness in the form of meditation, then the next step is to have the daily life type of training, means the religious routine to maintain mindfulness throughout the day. Whatever you do, aware. Like sitting aware, standing aware, walking, even looking forward, bending, turning, stretching, whatever movement, anchor your awareness initially to your kaya, means mental, physical movement or physical activity. Then later on, your seeing can also with mindfulness. When your mind enters sati, everything you see, you hear is in sati, means the specific phenomenal awareness, they will start to surface. Once the mind enters sati, then your sixth sense become different. Means you hardly think one. Most of the time you just aware one, aware, aware, aware. Then you need to think, only you think, otherwise you come back to awareness one. But that one you need the stability. So this daily mindfulness training is very important. Whatever you do, determine to be aware. You may have to do it for a few weeks or maybe a few months. Then once you anchor that daily mindfulness, I tell you will progress at very fast rate. Means once your daily mindfulness established, you will see the Dhamma. You will understand what I teach and what I say and become very different. And straight away, all the understanding will come to you. And this understanding is no more knowledge. It's from your direct seeing, daily mindfulness awareness that allow you to see and understand all this. So, Joy,
Okay.
salute to you. You can
Thank you.
do the daily mindfulness, means determine to be aware in whatever you do throughout the day. Initially, it's all your physical movement activity, the four posture, followed by all the connecting activity that you do.
Thank you, Brother Teo. All this while your books have been of very great help to me lah. I am very, very thankful and so blessed lah. Thank you
Salute
so much.
to you,
Thank you so much.
because these are not easy for people who are new, because you all are so conditioned by the old way of thought-based approach to developing the meditation. And even the thought-based, they don't know what this thing is. They teach you because they learn from other people. And they just continue with that teaching without realizing that all those who pass down like that one, these are not meditation, basically. These are all methods and technique, and it never defines the meditation. Well, this method and technique is for one to anchor the mind. Well, the mind think a lot, wonder a lot, and they become heedless very fast. So they cannot deal with it. That's why they come up with method and technique or object of meditation to anchor the mind so that the mind does not move. The mind does not run. The mind stay. And this is concentration. This is forcing it to be quiet, to be peaceful. And then one is thought-based energy field. That's why they use the thought to verbalize, to focus, to concentrate, to develop all this, what they call so-called repetitive type of verbalization. So without understanding, they just do, thinking that one day they can become enlightened. But this way, the Buddha say, you cannot become enlightened. You can only become enlightened when you have become heedful. Means ever mindful, constantly meditative. Without heedfulness, there is no way. Because your thought is so active. So when thought is active, you cannot be with your true mind, your meditative mind. You cannot awaken. Because that one create delusion. That one create thought, create emotion, create the mental activity and the movement, the sankhara. And this is not the true mind that can see, that can insight the phenomena, that can awaken. That's why thought-based meditation, no way, you cannot. You cannot.
Yeah, very good of you. Your way of teaching is really, really very unique, lah.
Yeah.
Which I don't come
across
other people.
You cannot find other place on.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you, Brother Teo. Thank you.
Sadhu to you too. Any other question, Joy?
Not at the moment, but I'm really working on it, lah. All my areas of weaknesses.
As you progress, you will have the question. So don't worry. Maintain your faith, then just continue to stabilize it.
Thank you.
Rejoice with your good initial progress and understanding. This will help you.
Thank you. Very good. I really admire those others, Kalyan Mitras. They are so.
They are able to develop understanding and progress because they have faith. And most of them, they are very simple people. They just follow instructions. Those complicated ones with earlier conditioning ones, they find it slower, more difficult to actually go into the
awareness. Is it because they are younger, they can cultivate better?
Not really. It's because of their whatever conditioning. Means they are not exposed to all the traditional way of meditating, understand? Means they got less of these views, opinion, and conditioning. They are like a clean slate, you know? They can listen, then they have faith, then they just follow instruction, then they realize, hey, it's so simple. And it's very direct. And this is why a lot of people don't believe. They were amazed. He said, how can meditation be so simple? Yes, it's very simple, but very difficult to have the understanding to do it. Simple because that is the way. The truth is actually very simple. The Dhamma is very simple. It's human being that make it complicated.
You don't
believe that it can be done so easily. And they never try. They never try. Yeah, they cannot try because the mental hindrances are there. Oh, their thoughts are so active. They are so heedless throughout the day. So conditioned. Their memory, their fear, their phobia, their views, their opinion, their condition. Their mind is so reactive. They are hardly at ease, at peace. They don't know how to relax. They don't know what sati is. They don't know what awareness is. That's why they cannot do it. They keep on using the thought. Try to understand. Try to learn. Then they try to memorize. Then they try to approach it by the conventional thought base. Means Everything also they use thought. When you use thought rampantly until you become so heedless, how can you be aware? You are hardly aware throughout the day. Your mind never rests. That's why they are very stressful, very tired. And that way is heedless living.
Yes,
stressful
true.
Living. It's
Very
not
true.
it's not the heedful way of relaxed awareness living. When you are heedful, the big difference between your mind state and the one that is heedless, when you see the difference, you cannot go back to the old way. Where the old way is full of stress, full of suffering, full of what they call distraction.
And we rejoice with you, lah.
The activity of the mind is like, oh, you cannot stop it at all. Oh, and this is what the Buddha called heedlessness, heedless living.
Okay. Thank you.
Very
Thank you,
good.
Sadhu.
Okay.
Brother Teo and all Kayamitas.
Brother
Teo, this morning, I actually, I was busy in the kitchen, but out of the sudden, I have an urge and I reach my handphone. I type out a long message. My message, actually, I have a group of friends. They also a cultivator. So in these five, six people, they always, especially one or two, always make fun of me. By saying I got a lot of money, I got a lot of EPF, and inside the group, I'm not the most one. There are people So this thing has been day in, day out lah, for two, 3 years has been like that. And of course, some of them is like very young, choose to retire, not working. I don't know how they live. I also don't want to ask, brother. So I type to them because I know when they make this type of fun on me, I definitely have shown my facial expression and sometimes I protest, definitely, Brother Teo. But so yesterday, every time when we go out after dinner, chakopi, then sometimes talk about this, they will point the finger to me already. EPF, brother, they don't know IVSS. No, I never make it a point to this group of people know IVSS. Definitely, I cannot, brother. I don't lie. I don't lie. So this morning I put it, my message is saying that I want to do it once for all. I want to make it clear that, you know, the remark that made yesterday by all of you, I say all of you, actually have stirred my mind and caused me suffering. Then I say, basically I say as a graduate, I only earn a minimum salary, sometimes like a Form 5 school leaver. It has been my pain. I say it has been my pain, and all the while, of course, I didn't say your add salt into my wound. I didn't use that, but I say, I told them, I say, years ago, somebody asked me my salary, I told them, so I'm not the one who graduate and earn a lot. I just earn like, huh? I say these things, and I say something like, I just want to... I do it because so long have been this thing joke going out. I actually don't like. So, then they say they apologize. And the person who really, like, say, siapa makan cili, dia rasa pedas lah. Like, someone have yesterday just make the remark, the person can feel it, that actually. So, they apologize. So, after that, I feel bad that actually, when I say this, do I cause suffering to people or do I continue to let this joke continue? But, brother, I know definitely, at least by writing, I typing out in this small group of friends, they definitely, some of them say they take it into the heart. I believe they won't be that, they won't do that so obvious or so frequent anymore. So I say, I get the result. I do, I get the result that I want by typing out. Because I know yesterday, if on the spot, I told them, they will still joke and never take me seriously.
Because that is what society is. That is what human relationship is. Jibolin, I think I understand what you are going through. Because most people, they encounter this problem when they lack the real wisdom that the Dhamma is giving us. So for your case, you have to reflect and contemplate, because what is affecting you is that egoic mind. You felt that they make fun of you, they take advantage of you, they say all this. Then for you, you have the number, you will know. All this, you have to develop the understanding. First, you say, the first thing that will come out if you are a cultivator is all this that come to you, they have their causes and conditions, maybe from the, in the past, maybe not this life, maybe some this life, huh? Most of it not this life. You have been doing this to people without you knowing it. So karma-wise, it come back to you, understand? So when it come back to you, the first thing that you should do as a cultivator is to accept this reality. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant that seed, now you become the victim. The second thing that you can reflect on is this has to be resolved. Otherwise, it's karmic repercussion. It will continue, understand? Like you say, this is bad for you, where you also suffer. Why? Your egoic mind pick it up and believe that this is causing you suffering, because a lot of things they say is not the truth, not what you are. But you want to argue back or you want to explain your way out, you can't. Understand? They just ignore you. It's just like the way society is. Sometimes they make fun and make joke of people. They keep on continuing. They are not interested in listening to what you say or your explanation. Or, because these people have become so heedless, so habitual, they continue to do this. So when you have that understanding already, you will be able to develop what I teach you just now, have the right view to accept what happened. Then do what you have to do. Need to ask for forgiveness, need to resolve it amicably. Where this one got coming, you have to stop the coming repercussion. So what you do is, you can do the three things that I always teach. First is ask for forgiveness. Then determine not to do all this again by keeping the precepts, the cultivation, to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind and develop the wisdom so that you can understand this, so that the egoic mind does not stir. Means when your personality changes through the understanding of the Dhamma, then they will look at you differently. But you will behave differently. You will speak and interact and develop relationship differently. Yeah. This is the Dhamma part that you are lacking. That's why your egoic mind still lashes onto it and want to resolve it to your mundane way. Your mundane way is like what you did. At least you write it out. You want to tell them off that you are not happy. Then hopefully somebody will understand you, or the comment will keep on coming on, understand? Because this is the world of duality. People just become habitual in their way of relationship, and they like to talk and say all these things. Of course, some will feel it. When you start to write and become serious, there are some who feel, ayo, better don't play a fool, because Chupolian not happy already. Understand? Huh? Then they apologize to you. But their habits are difficult to change, not immediately, not overnight. But more important is when you understand already, when you determine through the Dhamma way to change yourself, to develop the wisdom, then your personality, your character, your approach to relationship, to life, to develop friendship become different. And that is the time you can actually develop the condition to become different through the Dhamma way, which is to change the destiny of your life. Then by doing that three things, the last one is to invoke power of merits for turnaround. so that people will not have the misunderstanding to make fun of you, make joke of you, to say all this negative thing towards you. Because this has karmic implication. So you radiate love, metta, then wish them well-being and happiness. By doing all this, you are cultivating, you are developing mindfulness, heedfulness, to reverse all this karmic negativity. And this is the only way to change over for the better. So remember what I share, listen to it, then change and develop it to transform your life. Otherwise, the egoic mind will lash us onto all this and you will continue to react and become unhappy over all this. Because these are karmic things that you have to receive and go through. So whether what they say is the truth or not the truth or something hurting or what, it's whether you have the Dhamma to understand it or not. If you have the Dhamma to understand it, like I always say, they are just the way they are. Selfish people do selfish things. Deluded people say deluded things. Angry people do angry things. They are just the way they are. But karma is you reap what you sow. Whatever you do to people, it will come back to you. That's why you look at other people, other Kayamita, they don't have so much problem, Anasana. But there are people who are worse than you, Anasana, a lot more problem. Yesterday, I managed to watch on the Astro. Actually, life is not easy. Maybe I share this, then it will make you feel better, so they will let you understand better. At least what you are going through is the egoic mind creating certain unhappy emotion in you, and that trigger of suffering and stress in you is because you hold on to it, you lash on to it, you give meaning to all this, understand, to all the things that they say towards you. So this is what the Buddha meant by attachment, grasping, clinging, craving. You wanting your way. The egoic mind is active doing all these things. So in order to reverse all this, you can reflect based on what I teach you and do the three things to help resolve it amicably. What I want to share with you is another aspect so that you feel better. Understand? Well, there are a lot of people worse than you. The first incident was, there was a lady who said, because now they actually become different after going through almost 30, 40 years of very tough life. She was a very young girl, actually. I think at the age of 20 or what, she got married. She got married to the husband who is a gambler, who got this type of gambling problem. So they call it a type of sickness, understand not? Those who take drug is, of course, drug addict. Huh? This one is a gambling addict. Yeah. It end up, the husband go and borrow from the loan shark, Tai Long, not one, not two, more than 10. Then the dad snowballed until they were after him. They want to chop him and they cannot find him. So they come after the wife. At that time, she already had three children. So those moments of life, you see, she actually gave up on life. After that, she said, there is no love. How can the husband do all this kind of thing? And the husband come back and harass her some more. He said, you must help me to pay off the debt. He said, otherwise they will chop me off. Then don't talk about our marriage and all those things. I can't, he said, continue. And every time harass her until finally force her to go and look for money. Every time solve the problem, within less than 1 or 2 months, the problem come back, another loan, another problem again. That's why all these gamblers or drug addicts or borrow from loan shark one, they never tell you the truth one. Sometimes they tell you, okay, even credit card, this one you help me pay off, no more. Right? But keep on coming on. Until finally, she was forced to sell the house and pay off a very big portion of the debt. Within 6 months, again, the gambling problem come back, and she got it so hard until she want to give up her life, though. And she like no more trust in the relationship. You know? She just want to divorce the husband, you know? And finish up with it. But she reflected the children were still young. I think they were still below 10 years old, three of them. So she went through very stressful moments. So she don't know what to do. So she finally, I think, tell herself she need to endure all this because the children still small, wait for them to grow up and all those things. Yeah. But her life was like no more life, no more love. Everything was stressful. Everything was no longer the way it is. And it was like hell those years. So finally, the wife also wanted the divorce. But towards the end, the children also were dragged into all this. The husband also finally, like every time, wants to say he really serious, want to change and regret all those things. I think the husband finally went to jail also. He came out. Then after that, he heard from people that say you can actually help this type of people who are sick. He said she heard of drug addict can go for rehabilitation, but he never heard of gambling addict that got sickness can be resolved until he met one of these relatives that actually help her to go to seek help from all this. And the association was very good. They all got a lot of cases of gambling addict who actually lost their life, lost their family, go through very traumatic loan shark experience, everything. But they managed to come out of it and finally resolve their problem. Of course, by then they are already very old. Then they share their experience and all. So she managed to do it. Then there's another one, drug addict one. Also same. It's like hell. The children, that one is a sister. And the brother was a drug addict. And the mother and father died because of his bad habit and because of trying to help him, protect him, until the mother also died, the father also died. Then he went to jail also. Then in the jail, he regretted. But once he come out of the jail term, he cannot find a job. And within short moment, even if he go to a new place, find a job, he end up mixing with the drug addict again. And he kena a few times, the drug thing. Until finally the sister also give up on him. Then he went to jail again. Then after that, I think two or three times after that jail thing, then he decided to go for rehab where the jail gave him the opportunity because he was jailed for too long. And in the rehab, I think his bodily addiction of the drug is no more, completely gone, because I think more than 6 years or what he said, according to the person who do the counseling on, he said his physical addiction no more, but his mental addiction, his addiction is still there, drug, because they can recall through memory, you know. So that was the one that is very difficult to root out. Yeah. So what happened was, this drug rehabilitation center, they got a few types. Some only focus on the physical addiction, After that, they tell you you can go already. There are some give counseling after that to rehab that person, to like bring them into society and fit them in and all those things. Then there is another one. I think the third one is a Buddhist group through the Dhamma Way. They teach them how to go and do the Buddhist work and all those things, which is the Dhamma Way. So finally, the sister, being a Chinese, being a Buddhist, managed to contact one of these, then tell the brother, you have to go to this. Otherwise, you cannot survive. You cannot gain back your normal life. So he went to the Buddhist one. Then finally, it took him quite a while. No? Yeah, the Buddhist one, that one very experienced. It seems that person in charge of this rehab center, he told him, your physical addiction is gone, but your mental addiction, you must use the Dhamma to reverse all this so that you will never go back to that thing. So he teach him how to do the Buddhist routine, the chanting, everything, develop the Dhamma understanding, and help out in all the charity, everything, so that he got a life that doesn't need to like go back to the old way. Then he said, once you have this ability to like go through all this rehab and the circle of friends has become different, it will move you away from those people who has this karmic conditioning to actually lure you back to drugs. So that one has to be severe. That you must find meaning in living the Buddhist way and all those things. So after 30, 40 years or so, then only he, in his old age, he recovered. Then now he's sharing all this story in the Astro show. I think it's getting quite popular. So what I want to share with you is, Jubilant, you are not that bad. Basically, your case is very mild, but you only need to break free from the egoic mind that actually trap you. I realize that one still have power over you, because your stability of mindfulness, awareness, and understanding of the Dhamma is not strong, not stable. But basically, you are a good person. You also have a lot of good condition to attend to a lot of things, but your karmic past, you did a lot of nonsense too, like I told you last time. Consider the way you clear that karmic obstruction from those that I share with you. You're already very lucky, able to have all this condition to meet up with us, learn the Dhamma. But now is a period where the sasana is around. You have to determine to develop the understanding and break away from the old way so that all this will never come and haunt you again. So reflect on it, contemplate on it. You are actually still relatively blessed compared to all these people who really go to hell and misery. Okay, Chipotle?
Yeah, Brother Teo, I'm very glad I table this out and seek your advice.
Yeah. You must share all this, ask all those questions. Otherwise, you'll be stuck. You'll be stuck.
No, otherwise, Brother Teo, I will handle it, man.
Your usual just way.
Like, just like ordinary people and not from
your
the
mundane way.
Yes. Lucky,
approach.
Lucky,
yeah,
right.
Like you say, you decide to tax everything because you have been thinking about it. Understand? And that thinking is sankara, thought based.
Oh, bro, like every time based. I cannot tease from them, I'm not happy. Then every time I tell myself,
why are you not happy? The egoic mind is not happy, not you. Understand?
Oh. So today, I spontaneous jump up from my work in the kitchen. I go and
text them. Immediately you go and type. Then you forward the message.
Yeah, so Brother, I actually yeah correct. Listen to what Joey say. Actually, I'm very blessed that I come to Brother Teo place. Never, Brother Teo, never doubt that a lay person, a teacher, I never doubt this. It's only my ability. I didn't pick up only. I got the right. I definitely got very blessed to come to a right teacher. That is me that cannot get the understanding.
It because of those karmic obstruction, that's why you must ask for forgiveness, then determine strongly, to from now onward, follow the advice of the Buddha to cultivate, means keep the precepts, then cultivate wholesomeness, then meditate to realize the wisdom so that the egoic mind has no power over you, so that it cannot create the stirring of the mind, the bosong, the unhappy feeling, the emotion, no more. Because all this comes from thinking, and the thinking is supported by memories, views, opinion, conditioning, the ego behind. Otherwise, the ego root cannot arise. So all this understanding need stability of mindfulness, awareness, contemplation, reflection, first, second, third turning wisdom, the Avijja Sutta that I have taught you all. You have to go through all this. You see, like Pochen, they all, Alicia, they all, Imbi, they all, they can do it. Then why can't you? And most people now, I realize, even Kotlin, they all, they can slowly, slowly do it. Even Miss Lee, they all. Last time Miss Lee also very conditioned one, approach and all. But she also changed and she progressed. She once she sees the truth in all these things, then she determined with the faith and the patience, then she go into it and she develop understanding. That's why all these are possible. Then even Joey, I remember the first time she came to Jayanta and all those things, we gave her the book. She cannot follow at all. The sharing, everything, she was like blur. But now, very good. She starts to actually reap the fruition of some of his her faith and hard work. Because she used to call me, I remember. And she very confused about the Theravada and the Mahayana, and she find it very difficult to understand what I share over the sati, awareness, mindfulness, all those things. But now she developed so much better understanding, which is so really wonderful. That's why there must be understanding and joy. Okay.
Yeah. Brother, since there's still a little bit of time, I actually know aware that I'm a very negative person. I think maybe I don't know, maybe it's the condition of the family when everything come, we think of the way to protect ourselves, like you know, when we are young, our parents teach us. So it become like we are not the type who dare to take risks, and I think probably that is the condition that I was brought up in a very conservative, protective family. When I came to KL to work, colleagues also told me that you are very overprotective type, things like that. Okay. That day I was sharing with PG. I say someone every morning send me good morning messages. Actually, in the WhatsApp, they can do like I think a button they can put to a group of people. So every day I delete the message. Sometimes I reply, sometimes I don't. And I told PG, wow, very mafan, you know. Every day I have to. I even hinted to the person we are in a group. I already can see in the group. Still, the person keep on sending. Then finally, PG asked me something that saying that if we are old already, we stay in old folks' home. Not even people remember you. And if the person send you a message like this, will you be something like, will you be happy? And then it is, oh yeah, I listen to it. Then I come home and
It will
really,
strike you differently
yes.
because you are
Yes.
lonely, then suddenly you got people respond to you. You become here. That's why the way you perceive a life
Yes.
situation is very important. You perceive it negativity, then you react to it. That's why you say, "Oh, very mafan, this person every day or this," and but you don't appreciate, understand? You
How
perceive
do I ever?
it in negativity. But of
Yes.
course, there are some who non-stop send one also. Certain group are they quite irritating one also. Because they don't look at it one no. They receive, they send, they receive, they send. And this type of people, you need Sui An to deal with it. Sui An, very good. Sui An will go and check. Hey, these are old news. This has been recycled from where? Then they paise. After that, they don't send. Because the administrator who administer the WhatsApp chat group must actually take action. That's why our Kayomita group, once a while, when there is a situation, only I think Sui An will refer to me, then I will agree, and then I say, yeah, do what you have to do. Then sometimes I take action, I just say a few words. So normally when I say a few words, I think immediately the thing stop. Because for me, unless it's affecting other people, I normally don't want to say anything, and I just let it be. But the intent of the WhatsApp group and the sharing is very important. That's why Sui An is very good. He understand what that thing is, where he started it, and he has followed me for very long, and he know what is appropriate, what is not appropriate. Because in the early day, I actually go through all this, and the way I managed to develop all this, Sui An was all the while with me, and that's why he know, he understand the approach, the Dhamma way, and it so far has worked so well. These are all very important understanding. So for you learn to perceive things with understanding, with wholesomeness, no more negativity. Don't react like you said you know, because very likely your upbringing is, your family is from the background of being very protective of you all. So because of that, you are very prone to this type of unhappiness, because they are very protective. Now nobody to protect you, then they send you this type of message, and they make fun of you, they do all this to you. But you must realize, as a cultivator, this is what the egoic mind through delusion will do, react, where you perceive it in negativity. But when you perceive it with right view, means this has to do with your past, your coming past. There are causes and conditions behind why you cannot this life like that, not other people. So once you understand that, you can accept the reality, then decide to do what you have to do to change, to resolve it amicably, to move on so that your life can become better. So these are all the understanding that the Dhamma way can help people, especially for your case. Okay, brilliant.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bro,
Yeah,
too. I
so
very grateful that I
yeah, you
bring
bring up
it
the question, the sharing.
up.
This
And as you
will help
say,
a lot of
yeah,
other
guiding
people
me
too.
to see from the Dharma way.
Yeah, the Dhamma way to approach such situation. So
Yeah.
learn not to be negative. Means don't perceive things with negativity. And then everything is just the way it is. Then you can accept them for what they are. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Then the Dharma way is without the ego, understand?
Yeah.
Okay?
Thank you very much, Bro,
Thank you,
too.
thank you. Let us rejoice,
Sadhu,
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 yeah. So thank you so much to Chipolian and Zoe, for the good sharing. Today one is better because more towards the relevant to those who are beginning to develop the training of the Dhamma understanding. That's why today the two sharing is very good by Joey, especially the one by Joey, from thought-based shifting over to awareness-based developing the faith, the understanding. And the
Thank
program,
you, Brother Teo. It's
yeah.
all for your invaluable assistance.
Also,
Thank you.
because of your faith too, you have the faith and you continue with us for, I think, easily 3 years already, since the MCO.
Yes, 3 years already.
Since the MCO. At that time, cannot come down. We had to send the book down through Giant Drive and all those things. So,
thank you.
Nature rejoice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, Chubolen, the sharing very good. It gave me the condition to share all those things. Well, life, as you all know, is not straightforward or easy. There are a lot of things in life you never expect on. Whereas I look at a lot of things, nature has its own marvelous way of unfolding things on. Beyond your wildest dream, sometimes I tell you. Especially when I saw the astro sharing or something, then I look back, I saw actually a lot of Kayamita who go through those depression, disease, or actually comparatively is very minor. This one, involving drug, involving gambling, loan shark and all those things, and the whole family, including the parents, the children, the relatives, all involved. And there are a lot with the scam and kena, like deceive, trapped in overseas, Cambodia and all those things. Those are worse, I think. So in life, the way we understand life, you were determined to take care of karma. Don't play a fool with karma. Otherwise, all this will happen. And don't say that it's very rare. It's actually not rare. In fact, a lot of people are subject to all this. Now you look at the scam. Because the way it happened is from the past. These are people who scam other people in the past. Then now they become the victim. And you look at the numbers. Early on was snatch thief. After MCO, one thing good is snatch thief go down. Then new things start to arise. Now it's all the scam. Now it's involving all the IT thing. So you look at life, you look at the way nature evolve and create all this. You will be very, very amazed. How beautiful nature. That's why without Dhamma, all this cannot be understood. Okay, I have to end. So let us now share marriage, transfer marriage, then we end. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakantu lokasana itta vata cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalena Sasa sampati heto cha, pito bhavatu loko cha, raja bhavatu dhammiko. Imina punyang kamina, mame bala samagamo, satang samagamo, hotu yava nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and all the other worthy beings. Okay, there's a message from Sister Alicia. She said sadhu to Sister Joey and Polian for the good sharing. She said she will listen to it later. Okay, so we will end the whole of the Zoom. Thank you for participating. Sadhu.